Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me again today is Julie Bango. We're continuing our conversation. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you very much, Father.
Let's begin with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. O Divine Teacher, teach us your ways and your truths. Help us to live this life according to your will. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Julie, we've been talking about your life and how you have come to live as a disciple of the Lord and his church, and this beautiful story. Another part of your life, I mean, you know, in addition to being a disciple, I mean, disciples have to have a job, a day job, we might say, you know, they're disciples 24/7, but they also have to bring in a living. And you were in special education, is that right, in public school?
Yes, that's right. I was a special educator, and I worked with students with severe and profound disabilities. And I worked with students in a school devoted solely to students with disabilities, and then later transitioned into public school.
And, you know, we hear a lot about, you know, special education, the special needs, intervention specialists, even in, you know, in my time as a pastor with a Catholic school, it's a big issue. You know, a lot of, you know, these learning agreements, the need for, you know, behavioral assistance, educational assistance. So, you know, it's across the board throughout education. Maybe you could talk about just, you know, at the beginning of your career and how it kind of evolved, the, you know, how our sort of awareness of the needs.
When I started teaching, I worked in what was called a 169 program, and that was a segregated school for boys and girls with severe and profound disabilities. And it was a wonderful site in that every single person there was totally devoted to students with disabilities. As time has progressed, that model has been abandoned, and it was decided that students should move into public school. We could give kids everything except for time with their peers, and that is important. And so our units, as they're called, were moved into public schools. But these are students with severe issues. It could be medical issues or behavioral issues. And even if a public school system has their heart in the right place, sometimes it is very, very difficult to meet the needs of kids who require so much support. So it's an interesting, but a very it's challenging and sometimes stressful, I would say.
Yeah. How, as a disciple, were you able to handle that very stressful and difficult situations?
Well, I think my faith informed my career when I allowed the Lord to lead the way. And I'd like to say that it was all the time, but that would hardly be the case. My temperament is I'm a hard-headed person, and I have ideas, and I want to make sure that I advocate. And, you know, my way is not God's way, and sometimes that got in my way. Mm-hmm. So when I look back on my career, it's just God was there all the time. And when I would just step back from things and allow him to lead the way, things worked just the way they should have. I will say one thing. He was very good to me. He surrounded me with very good people, either people who were Christian or people who did not consider themselves Christian, but they were so seeped in the Christian tradition that the decisions they made were very Christ-based. And that was very helpful, not to be alone, but to have a group of people with me that could help me and help the students as well.
Now, you started your career before your kind of conversion, or at least coming back into the church.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, when I think back, it was how did my faith inform one of the first things that happened to me is I worked with students that had very severe medical needs and behavioral needs. They were all in one class. And this was in a segregated school. One of the things I had to do was help a boy at lunch, and he had terrible face abnormalities, and his food had to be ground up. And when he ate this kind of mush, the food, because he had a cleft palate, would come back through his nose. And I don't say that to shock people, but it was very shocking for a young person to see. I remember going home and thinking, should this person be alive? Is this a life? And that's where that Christian tradition, you know, came to me, thank God. You know, and I didn't pray about it, but I kind of did pray about it, yeah. You know. And I was like, well, of course, this is a human being. And, you know, what kind, who would I be to think that I would understand this person's quality of life? And then after being with them for a year, I found out that they were a wonderful person. Mm-hmm. That this kid was nonverbal. He was very self-abusive. He had many, many struggles. He had been institutionalized and didn't have a family. But there was so much goodness in him. And he was a great guy.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I thank God for my Christian tradition that allowed me to see that and to not be so self-righteous that I would be the person to decide whether he had a quality of life or not.
One of the things I'm fascinated by the Catechism of the Catholic Church is, you know, it'll take, you know, a creedal statement, say like the Trinity, or that God is our Father, or that God created us, or that we believe in one God. And then it looks at the implications. So the fact that we believe, like, say, for instance, that God became flesh, the incarnation, well, that means now there's a certain value to material things that were never there. Or there's a certain value to human nature that was never there because God's taken it on. And we don't necessarily realize those implications, but we accept the faith and we allow it to come into our life through the sacraments. And it does, I think, seep through, like in these particular situations where we catch ourselves and say, "Hey, I believe this," and so this light comes on,
and it
illuminates the way that I live and act.
Yes, and that I think that what you said earlier is so true, that it's not an autobiography. It is those little moments in my life. I'll never forget that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Of knowing that I was not God. It was not my job to decide life or death or the importance.
Yeah.
So thank God for that. Thank God he gave me that.
Certainly I think in your job and in the and really the avocation of all of those in education, but particularly in with special needs, is this sort of compassion and empathy, you know, not just to kind of see them as a child of God, as, you know, as a human with dignity, but a real love for them and an empathy for them. And I think you've seen that, you saw that grow in the course of your career.
Yeah, you know, I did. And once again, I would say that's God put me in that job for a reason, and it was to help me grow in those things. And I see that now. And even after I retired, I realized he wasn't done with me, because my church is St. Patrick's, and I was driving to St. Patrick's one day after I retired, and I thought, I'm so tired, Lord. I have done so much, and I just want to be done. And I went to Mass, and in front of me was a little girl with Down syndrome with her family. And then in the bulletin, they said, you know, we're looking for volunteers to work with these kids. And I remember driving home in the car going, oh, no, Lord, I'm done. And then the next week, I went to Mass at a different time, and the family was there again, even though it was a different time for Mass. So this happened like every week for about 4 weeks. And I said to myself, the only thing that you have not done, Lord, is put this little child in my lap, had her take my face in her hands and say, look, lady, I need you to, you know, be a part of this program. And I said, fine, I give up. And so I joined the program, and I've done it now for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years with different students. And I am so grateful that God has given me another chance to really love, and I mean I love the little guy I work with right now, mm-hmm. love these kids, and I think give me a chance once again to see what the heartache and the joy of the family and the beauty of each of these students. So yeah, God's blessed me, that's for sure.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Julie. You've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger, and with me has been Julie Bango. Let's end with a prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, fill our hearts with the gifts which we need to love those before us, the gifts of compassion and empathy, the gifts of patience and endurance and suffering, also the gifts to recognize the dignity of every human person and every human life, from conception to a natural death. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And until next time, peace and all good.